is Friday, April 5th. You are listening to the Agent Survival Guide podcast. We are back with another Friday Five, where we recap the week's headlines. I'm your host, Sarah Ruppel, and what a week for updates. We've got legislative updates, regulatory updates, final rules, and so much more. Lots to cover today, so let's get started. Number five. Going back a few weeks when President Biden made his State of the Union address, he unveiled his 2025 budget. And in that, we got a snapshot of some changes coming to Medicaid and CHIP. Last week, the Biden administration announced the streamlining the Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, and Basic Health Program application, eligibility determination, enrollment, and renewal processes final rule. Couple of points I want to note. First, the legislation eliminates annual and lifetime limits on children's coverage in CHIP. Kids will no longer be locked out of coverage if their family is unable to pay premiums. There are no more waiting periods for CHIP coverage, and the changes should mean a smoother transfer process from Medicaid to CHIP. When applying for the first time, states must give individuals at least 15 days to provide additional information, and when renewing coverage, they must return documentation within 30 days. States are also prohibited from carrying out renewals more than every 12 months, and they'll be required to hold face-to-face, in-person interviews with older adults and those with disabilities. Number four. We've been covering the Medicaid unwinding process since it began, with the most recent update back in our February 16th episode. That was about halfway through the unwinding process. During the timeframe of unwinding, CMS had announced a temporary marketplace special enrollment period that would be open for those being disenrolled from Medicaid to enroll in ACA coverage. The timeframe of that unwinding SEP began on March 31st, 2023, and was set to end on July 31st, 2024. That date has been extended to November 30th, 2024. According to the release, the extension, quote, will be crucial to ensuring people remain covered, including in states that have given people additional time to renew their coverage, as CMS has recommended, to help eligible people stay enrolled, end quote. 2 days before the announcement, KFF updated their Medicaid enrollment and unwinding tracker. So I'd like to share a more recent snapshot of those numbers. As of March 26, 2024, 19.2 million people have been disenrolled from Medicaid and CHIP, making up 20% of total enrollment. 40.6 million individuals have successfully renewed their Medicaid or CHIP coverage, making up 43% of total enrollment. And still left to process, 34.3 million individuals, or 36% of total enrollment population with renewals remaining. For those who have been disenrolled, a common theme has been procedural disenrollments. 70% of all individuals disenrolled were termed because of procedural reasons, like not completing their renewal, not updating contact information, and not understanding the renewal process. But that doesn't necessarily mean that an individual does not still qualify for Medicaid. In Pennsylvania, we're at 738.6 thousand disenrollments and 1.8 million renewals. 52% of our disenrollments so far have been procedural, while 48% were due to ineligibility. We will be linking to the KFF tracker in the notes if you want to check out the data for your state. Highly recommend doing that. Also, cannot stress enough the importance of getting in touch with your Medicaid clients and helping them through this process. Number three, late last week, the departments of Health and Human Services, Labor, and Treasury released several final rules on short-term limited duration insurance and independent non-coordinated accepted benefits coverage. These changes mostly affect short-term medical insurance, but there is a provision on hospital indemnity insurance we will be highlighting as well. Also, want to make sure for the newer agents in our audience, this legislation is around short-term medical insurance plans, which are different than short-term care plans. One is medical coverage. The other is a shorter-term version of care coverage in the vein of long-term care, if that helps you make the distinction between the two. Originally, the proposed legislation covered more regulations on hospital indemnity plans, what the departments refer to as fixed indemnity accepted benefits coverage in the rule. Most of those changes are still being ironed out, and according to the press release, will be provided at a future date. Before we get into what has actually changed, it's probably important to touch on why the change is occurring. Healthcare has been a huge focus of the Biden administration, with several attempts at creating transparency for consumers. Those efforts have included transparency in coverage, pricing, reducing costs, increasing education, addressing confusion, and attempting to streamline the industry. The stipulations outlined in this rule fall in line with that mission, ensuring consumers understand both the benefits of their coverage and its limitations. First up, a change to the length of short-term medical plans, or STM for short. Currently, when we talk about STM, the term of these plans can range from fewer than 12 months to a maximum coverage period of 36 months. That term duration has been in place since 2018, and the final rule is essentially putting the short back in short-term medical insurance. Beginning September 1st, 2024, STM plans can provide an initial 3 months of coverage. Issuers may also renew or extend the coverage for one additional month, maxing out the coverage period of STM plans to 4 months. And again, this is something the departments are doing to help consumers understand that short-term health insurance plans are meant for the short term. Two of the red flags pointed out, they're not always considered creditable coverage depending on the state. And depending on the plan, if they're not considered creditable coverage, they're not going to cover the individual the same way that creditable health insurance coverage would. Another important distinction made in the final rule, renewals and extensions of short-term medical plans will be defined as STM sold by the same issuer or any issuer that is a member of the same controlled group to the same policyholder within a 12-month period. No more stacking plans. And then on the hospital indemnity front, the final rule outlined an updated consumer notice. The notice will highlight the difference between fixed indemnity accepted benefits coverage and comprehensive coverage, and must be prominently displayed in marketing, application, enrollment, and re-enrollment materials. Moving on to number two, also released this week by CMS, the Final Coverage Year 2025 Part D Redesign Program Instructions. And most of these are just as outlined in the draft version we mentioned back in February. Probably the most well-known part of this redesign, the reason for doing it in the first place, to get rid of the donut hole. That was the gap in between when initial coverage ended and catastrophic coverage began. With these changes, the coverage gap discount program is on track for sunset in 2025, to be replaced by the manufacturer discount program. Beginning with coverage year 2025, cost liability in Part D will be restructured into three phases of coverage: the deductible, initial coverage, and catastrophic coverage. In the deductible phase, an enrollee is responsible for 100% of the Part D deductible, which looks to be coming in at $590 for 2025 from the charts and the example given in the fact sheet from CMS. Then, in the initial coverage phase, the enrollee pays 25% coinsurance of covered Part D drugs. The issuer of the plan pays 75% of drugs that are covered by Part D, which I want to point out are referred to as non-applicable drugs in the verbiage on the fact sheet. That means that the manufacturer discount program does not apply to them. For applicable drugs, or drugs that do qualify for the manufacturer discount program, the issuer of the plan would pay 65% of the cost, while the manufacturer pays 10% of the cost. The enrollee exits the initial coverage phase when they hit their out-of-pocket threshold, which has been lowered and capped at $2,000. The next phase is catastrophic coverage. There, the enrollee does not pay for drugs covered through Part D. The plan issuer would usually pay 60% covered Part D drug costs, again, non-applicable drugs. The manufacturer pays a discounted 20% for applicable drugs. And then finally, CMS pays about 20% of applicable drug cost via reinsurance subsidy. On all other covered Part D drugs that are not applicable to the program, CMS pays 40% of the cost, again, by reinsurance subsidy. Biggest takeaway for your clients, the annual out-of-pocket threshold has been lowered to $2,000, and the donut hole is no more. We will be linking to the fact sheet in the notes. The final version also includes a table showing the progression of the Part D redesign. Definitely recommend taking a look. That visual comparison is very helpful. And coming in at number one this week, the Medicare Advantage and Part D rate announcement. On Monday this week, CMS released their coverage year 2025 Medicare Advantage and Part D rate announcement. And not a lot has changed from what was published in the advance notice at the tail end of January this year. Every rate announcement from CMS typically highlights the same information, and we'll start with the effective growth rate, which is set at 2.33% for coverage year 2025. That is down from the advance notice rate of 2.44%, but up from last year's 2.28%. Star ratings were down 0.15% in the advance notice. That number has very slightly increased to a 0.11% decrease. Risk model revisions and FFS normalization are still combined, as they have been since last year, I believe, and that percentage stayed the same from the advance notice to the final rate announcement, a decrease of 2.45%. And just a reminder, since we mentioned it last year, this year we'll see full implementation of the changeover from ICD-9 to the ICD-10 classification system, as well as updated FFS data years and an updated denominator year. Next up, the Medicare Advantage risk score trend, which CMS defines as, quote, the average increase in MA risk scores across plans and a key factor in the level of overall MA payments, end quote. The MA risk score trend stayed the same from the advance notice to the final rule, up 3.86%. And the expected average change in revenue is up 3.7%. With a higher MA risk score, that means that MA benchmark payments will be cut by 0.16%. We will be linking to the CMS fact sheet on the rate announcement in the notes. If you have questions, they've included an FAQ section at the bottom of the release, some super helpful information there. Rupel recommends. 2 weeks ago, I know I said this segment would become a part of our regular episode, but there were so many updates this week. That didn't really work out, so I will amend my statement and say that normally it will be in there. It will be a part of the episode. unless we get a flurry of regulatory and legislative activity like we did this week. And so much so that not all of it was able to be included in today's episode. In addition to everything I mentioned here today, the Department of Health and Human Services released the 2025 Marketplace final rule. So our teams are starting to pore over those documents. And then, of course, we are still awaiting the release of the 2025 MA and Part D final rule as well. My recommendation this week, make sure you're following along with our podcast, following along with the Ritter blog. Make sure you're signed up to receive our emails because we will be communicating any important changes with our agents over the next few weeks as we dig into all of this legislation, all of these regulatory changes, and how they affect agents. And then last but not least, the results of last week's poll. We asked the question, which podcast app would you download and try? And the options were all of the apps we mentioned as potential Google podcast replacements in last week's episode. And very surprisingly to me, YouTube Music was our winner. For this week's question, we are looking to revamp our Social Media 101 series in the coming weeks. And we want to know which platforms you'd like to learn more about. Head over to bit.ly/ASG question, that is bit.ly/ASG question, and choose the social media platform you would like to learn more about. And if there's a specific question you would like us to answer in those episodes, you can email us that question at asgpodcast@ritterim.com or call our hotline at 1-717-562-7211. That is all we've got for this week's episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us through this longer than normal Friday Five. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen today. I hope you have a great weekend. Stay healthy and stay safe out there. And we will see you next week.
The Agent Survival Guide podcast is a production of Ritter Insurance Marketing, an integrity company. This episode was written and produced by me, Sarah Ruppel. Script editing and fact check by Tina Lamoureux. Podcast design by Urban Rivera. Artwork by Vivian Zhao. Follow along with us wherever you like to listen.